Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Thank you for joining us this evening, as we are so excited to have you with us not only today, but every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you're joining me, we often start off with devotion, and so we'll have song, scripture, and we'll have prayer. We're going to start off the song with Open My Heart by Yolanda Adams, and then we're going to have the scripture reading by Dr. James Nooks. And Dr. Nooks, if you would please read, I'll give you Isaiah. The scripture disappeared. It's on the screen here. It's Isaiah 11:6-9. Isaiah 11:6-9. And then we'll start off with the song from Open My Heart by Yolanda Adams.
Oh,
scripture lesson for this evening is Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. I'm reading from the Revised Standard Version. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The suckling child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. Then they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I read for you Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing and doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Can you bow your heads with me in prayer as we go to the word, to the Lord? God, we come before you today asking that you would open our eyes and give us spiritual insight. Help us to fully understand a little bit more about the end times, what you expect and what will happen in the second coming. Thank you for sharing about the rapture and teaching us a little bit about how we approach the scriptures and the understanding of revelations, if we are futurist or preterist or what perspectives we bring to it. Thank you, O God, for opening our eyes and reminding us as we've studied recently of what some of the signs will be. And that's what we close with today, Lord, is, you know, the signs of the second coming, what it may look like, what are the kind of things we can look for, and how we need to be postured. But Lord, as we come before you, we just thank you. Thank you for loving us enough, for giving us your word and helping it be before us so that we can grasp and understand it, so that we can look for your return and we can be expecting that special time with you. We praise you, we glorify you, we magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Wow, here we are. It's the last week in the month of November. And we have covered some really serious stuff. But before we go any further, I just want to thank you guys for joining me tonight. I'd like to do a roll call just to kind of get an idea to see who's on the line tonight. And we can go forward from there. So, Dr. Nooks, I know you're here. Who else is on the line tonight?
Brett.
Hey, Brett. Good to hear from you. Is there anybody else?
Yes, Brenda.
Brenda, good to hear from you.
Thank
you.
How you
doing?
Britt invited me. I'm in Lancaster, California, and we grew up in Indianapolis together. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we have been talking about some really, really deep stuff, Brenda. And just to let you know that a little bit about who we are is we're a Bible study that seeks, we can hear your background noise. Put your phone on mute, please, so that we don't hear the rustling until you get ready to talk. And then don't forget to take it off because you'll forget. But kind of who we are is that we study the Word of God and we come together in a group to discuss it. We invite people from all over the world to participate. Sometimes we have people from as far as Ghana. We've had people. So, but the idea is that we come to share our understandings of the word and to learn the things that many of us haven't thought of in a while or don't remember, and some that just don't know any at all. And so we come talking about that, sharing how it impacts us, what we think about it. And it doesn't mean that we personally don't want to put anybody down, even if we have differences of opinions. And so that's what we're trying to do as believers, and that's come to the table, even though we may not agree with everything that the other person or someone else may believe in. So thank you, those of you who are joining us tonight. And again, remember to, if you're shuffling and moving around, put your phone on mute until you get ready to speak. As we do hear the sensitive things, like somebody just put something down on the table or something. We hear all that. So if you would put your phone on mute until you get ready to talk, we appreciate it. So tonight,
Dr.
Susan, I'm going to yes.
I wanted to say like Brenda said, she's in California, but she was in the midst of the fire.
Oh,
and luckily, the area
okay.
she lived in was not touched.
Wow, God is good. God
Amen.
Is good. We're so glad you're doing okay, Brenda. I know that was tough, scary.
Thank you. I'm blessed every day, and the fires are out, and I just stay in prayer. That's it.
I know that. I know that. Amen. I can say amen and amen to that. I'm up here in Maine, and I'm dealing with snow and ice. So I asked all of you for prayers because I am not a snow ice person. I'm telling you. But we are trusting God for everything. Brother Britt, thank you for bringing her on the line tonight and joining with us.
Not
and we
a problem.
Look forward to your participating with us, Brenda. Well, what we've talked about this month is a really deep topic. We've talked about Jesus' return. And our foundational text was Revelation's 19th chapter, the 11th through the 16th verses. And we've talked about those. And can someone get that and review that text for us as we, since we have Brenda with us tonight, we kind of want to review some of those. And if you don't have it, I can do it if no one has it. Revelation is the 19th chapter, the 11th through the 16th verse.
I can get it.
Oh, okay.
I'll
take your moment. You have it, Brett? Okay, because I have it too. So go ahead, Brett. What
yes.
version are you reading?
New International Version. And it says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth was a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has his name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen. Amen. King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
And so as we listen to that, you know, for everybody's purposes of review, this was the vision that John talked about when he said he saw heaven standing open. And in the temple, he talked about how in preparation for God's revelation of God's sovereignty, he sees heaven itself flung wide open to his gaze. In one sense, this vision depicted the return of Christ, the final overthrow of the beast, and this is viewed as the climax of the previous section that happened just before that, of the final series of seven last things, talking about the return of Christ, the defeat of Satan, the binding of Satan, the millennium, the final end of Satan, the last judgment, and the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. So these are kind of the events that we see that we were talking about. We talked about we asked the questions, are we prepared for Christ's return? And we verified that we were certain that he would. And we discussed that. We talked about the end times, what dispensations were. Lots of time, and each dispensation was named based on what was occurring during that timeline. What is the rapture? We talked about how, based on your perspective of if you were a futurist, if you were a preterist, and there were two other that I don't remember because I'm a futurist, so I just held on to the one that I remember. And we discussed those, and we realized that depending on how you view the interpretation of Scripture is how you look at all those revelation or end time prophecies. And now tonight we are talking about, and last week as well, we were talking about the condition of the world when Jesus returns. And so last week we introduced that and asked people to come and to be prepared to talk about that. And we began that discussion as well. So it's been some really, 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 really deep stuff. So based on where we are tonight, I wanted to ask this question to everybody, and it's a fundamental question. It's not something super deep, but why is it important for the second coming? Why is the second coming important?
Well, it's important. This is James. It fulfills prophecy, and Jesus said he's coming back again, and that really is a foundation of our faith.
Yes.
And also, it's a time when God says he's tired of what's going on here, and then God's going to take over. Right now, we live in a period of grace, and God allows us to make our decisions. We have free will. There will be a time when God will stop a lot of what is going on in this world and has a plan for a new heaven and a new earth. And in order for that plan to be implemented, Jesus needs to come back a second time. And it's talked about in Isaiah 61. I mean, we hear about Jesus with his stripes we are healed, but also in 61 we hear about a time when there's going to be plenty and we'll be blessed. So it's important, especially for the people of faith, for there to be a second coming of Christ. Because we look to that in Revelation.
Amen. Our hope and confidence is in that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So it's important for us.
Amen. And Titus 2:13 says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, we have hope. And we're tired. I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired. And
yes,
may I
interject something?
Go ahead.
Okay. Summer 2015, I committed myself to reading the book of Revelations from the very first to the very last word. And for some reason, I felt compelled to do that. I can say that looking around us now, that those things in Revelation are unfolding right before our eyes.
Amen.
For those of us who are actually reading and understand the Bible, this book is most important. I took a religious studies class at Cal State Northridge, and one of the things that one of the students in the class brought up was that he believed that the book of Revelations in the Bible is a self-fulfilling prophecy. In relationship to psychology, example, if they say the banks are going to fail, like they did in 1929, and people run to the banks and pull all their money out, then the banks will fail, correct? But some of these mm-hmm. things are not in our control. When we start looking at things like climate change and things like that, because people want to interject science and religion into the same space, I believe that what we're seeing is the unfolding of the disasters, the fires, the earthquakes, the floods, the suffering of the children, the skin diseases,
the
flesh falling from the bones. It's there, and it's happening around
Amen.
Us every day. And
Amen.
I had to say that because I actually studied it. And if we sit and look at the news and see what's happening and the suffering of people everywhere, even if it's the smallest thing to the very largest thing, people are generally suffering. And now, of course,
yeah.
human beings don't mean as much as dollars. So
well,
I'm saying all that to say that I'm in it. Okay, I understand.
But it's not just the people
right.
that are suffering. The earth is suffering. The Bible talks about it groaning for God's return. It is groaning
Amen.
And lamenting. Because we have not been good stewards. And so as a result, you know, it's groaning, as are those of us who love the Lord and want to be with him. Because that's what this is all about for us. It's about knowing the end of the story. See, we can be troubled and we can struggle, but the hope that we have is we know at the end of the story what's going to happen. Because we went to the back of the book and read the back of the book first so that we know how it is. So
Amen, sister.
Amen.
We can celebrate. And so what we're looking forward to is the Lord coming back again to be with us. And so that we can, all the struggle and all the mess and all the stuff we've been enduring, none of that will matter because we will be in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. For eternity. For eternity.
Yeah.
And so the second coming is important because, you know, Christ, again, is not coming as a suffering Savior. He's coming as a righteous king now. He's coming, the Bible says, with a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He's calling, he's coming to take names. He ain't playing. This ain't the same type of soft, patient, giving. He's coming back. I'm not saying he's not still all those things, but his purpose is different. He's coming back with the fury and the wrath of God Almighty. The scripture says in Revelations 19:15-16, out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe, on his thigh, he has his name written. Come on, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, what did you say, baby?
Amen.
Sorry. What'd you say, Brenda?
No,
Brenda,
I said it's building. It's yes, I'm here. It's building. It's right in front of us.
Yes, it is building. It is building. And so when we fully understand that the second coming is so important, and so my question, and Brenda's kind of segued into it, is when is it? When is the second coming? When do you anticipate the second coming?
Nobody knows when exactly, but there are conditions that we've been given, like in Matthew 24, tales of Jesus says of some things that will happen. If we look at Matthew 24, starting at the third verse, Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives. There the disciples came to him in private. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? What will be the
mm-hmm.
sign of your coming? What will be the sign of the end? Jesus answered, keep watch. Be careful that no one fools you. Many will come in my name. They will claim I am the Christ. They will fool many people. You will hear about wars. You will also hear people talking about future wars. Don't be alarmed. Those things must happen. But the end still isn't the here. Nation will fight against nation. Kingdom will fight against kingdom. People will go hungry. There will be earthquakes in many places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then people will hand you over to be treated badly and killed. All nations will hate you because of me. At that time, many will turn away from their faith. They will hate each other. They will hand each other over to their enemies. Many false prophets will appear. They will fool many people. Because evil will grow, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. This good news of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world. It will be a witness to all nations. Then,
amen,
the end will come. Amen.
Amen. Can somebody read 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 2? 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 2. Can anybody get that? Brenda or Brad or Dr. Nooks? And then somebody also get, tell me who's going to get that one. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 2. Who's going to do that one?
I have it.
Brett, do you have your Bible? Brett. Where do you
might be on mute.
Let me see if he can hear me.
Oh, I'm off.
Brett, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, I was asking you, do you have your Bible?
I got my tablet. I got the Bible on it. I got 2 Thessalonians.
Okay, can you pull up 2 Peter 3, 4 and that read that context?
2 Peter.
Brenda, do you have anything where you can read tonight?
I'm on my laptop, so tell me what you need. Peter what?
Okay. Brett's got 2 Peter 3, 4. James says 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 2. Can you get Matthew 24, 4 through 29?
Okay.
And you'll be the last one to read. James, if you start, then Brett, then Brenda. So,
okay.
James, could you start with 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 2?
Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling to meet him, we beg you, brethren, not to be quickly shaken in mind or excited, either by spirit or by word or by letter, purporting to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition.
Amen. Dr. Nooks, my version also says, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. So what we have here is that some are mistakenly frightened that they've already missed the second coming. And then we got other folks who doubt that it ever will occur. They'll say, where's the coming he promised us, right?
Yep.
So can somebody read 2 Peter 3, 4?
I got it. Just for it. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Did you want me to read more?
So, Brett, it sounds like to me we've got these two extremes. Do y'all see that? But we've got to avoid these extremes, believing that the second coming has already occurred and believing that the second coming will never occur. For me.
Amen.
You know, Bible teachers, like you said, Dr. Nooks, people have made guesses as to when the rapture and the second coming is going to happen. They have all been incorrect. Nobody knows. The Bible declares that, like you said, Dr. Nooks, what? No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven. Nor the Son, but only the Father. So, Brenda, would you read Matthew 24, 4 through 29?
Yes. Jesus answered, Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see...
Okay.
Standing in the holy place, mm-hmm. the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again.
Amen.
If those days, you want me to stop for a second?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it.
Mm-hmm.
For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See?
Amen.
I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is, out of the wilderness, do not go out there. Or, here he is, in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken.
Amen. So, as you read that, what jumped out at you, Brenda? Because we read this one before. What jumped out at you when you read that?
The many ways that it's this passage or these passages are telling us, do not believe in the false prophets. Because they're going to be there saying, there he is, or here I am, or whatever, and it's not true. And the other part is that no matter what, the end is coming.
It's coming. It is coming. Yes, Dr. Nutz.
I was just going to say that it tells us of a time when the love of many will wax cold and people will believe liars. There will be liars. Claiming to be something that they're not. It'll be a time when those that stand for righteousness will be persecuted. And, you know, people will think they're doing God a favor, even turning in each other, backbiting, stabbing, backbiting, and lying on each other. A terrible time. Earthquakes. We talked about natural disasters and climate, all kind of climate changes. We see the climate changes now. We see a lot of that. We see earthquakes.
That's right.
We see hurricanes. We see war. We hear wars and rumors of wars. We see evil leaders. But the son of perdition must be revealed. The Antichrist must be revealed before the end times. And I think that's a significant factor. And there have been a lot of people that they have claimed have been the Antichrist down through history. But the Antichrist is supposed to be in cahoots with the church, even. He's going to really be a deceiver and is going to come out of politics and appear and all of a sudden be dominant in government. And I said also in league with the church, because we read in Revelations 2 and 3 about the churches and in Laodicea. So it'll be a time before Christ comes that'll be a rough time for the believers in Christ, and a rough time for our world. And I see a lot of things that are aligning, moving toward rough times coming in our world, in our world today. And I'm very concerned about our environment.
You're absolutely right. And our news media is constantly reporting all these tragic events, talking about their significance, and so that we can all understand. But this progression of disturbing news, have you noticed it? It is a progression. It's not random and inconsequential. They foreshadow what is to come. They foreshadow how bad things are going to be. And and the persecution of our people, you know, people of color, is just so extreme. And you see it and you're gasping because you go, that's another innocent man. The times have never been where you hear the many innocent people who are murdered. And it's okay. They people get by with it. So we need to see that and not just go, ooh, that's just black people. It's not just black people. This is a sign of what's going to be, of what's happening. And these events are changing everything that we think. If, look at it. Everything that we knew was familiar is changing because it didn't used to be that way. So the stuff that we're encountering now is not the same as it used to be. We're changing. And, you know, there's only one source, and that's God that's really going to know everything that's going to happen. But, you know, we got to look at these kind of things that's going on. You got to realize that there is a real God, and the Bible is speaking the life where it finds it. The Bible is speaking out, and we need to hear it through prophecy. We got to wake up. And so we got to look at some of the prophecies that are in the Bible and what is written. 2 Peter 1:19-21 says, for anybody got that? 2 Peter 1:19-21. If you don't have it, I can just read it. It says, does anybody have that? Matter of fact, if somebody has it in the message, that would really be nice. So can somebody pull it up on their laptop? 1:19-21. So we have proved.
I'm sorry, 2 Peter.
Mm-hmm. 2 Peter 1:19-21. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've got it.
Okay.
We couldn't be more sure of what we saw and heard. God's glory, God's voice. The prophetic word was confirmed to us. You'll do well to keep focusing on it. It's the one light you have in a dark time. As you wait for daybreak and the rising of the morning star in your hearts, the main thing to keep in mind here is that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of private opinion. And why? Because it's not something concocted in the human heart. Prophecy resulted when the Holy Spirit prompted men and women to speak God's word.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 So why did God preserve these prophecies for us? Because God is working out a purpose nationally and individually. And so that's why we need to understand God's purpose as we are encountering and studying the Word of God. So I just got to ask, you know, do you all believe that it says Luke 21:31-33 says, Luke wrote this, he says, so you likewise, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things are fulfilled. And so we can know what the signs are that will precede Christ's coming. We can know because that's what God said. We can believe it. And he commands us, those who are genuine, to watch and be ready. In Luke 21:36, he says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Wow. Wow. So we know that this is coming. We know that the Bible talks about this devastating, bloody war in human history that's going to come, the Great Tribulation. We know these things are going to happen, that the days are going to be shortened, that no flesh would be saved, but the elect's sake, you know, those days will be shortened. I think somebody already read that, Matthew 24, earlier. And now we're approaching that time, and these things are now being revealed. Daniel 12:10 says, many shall be purified, cleansed, and refined. God is examining you and me, testing us to see who is willing to obey God's word, but the wicked shall continue to act wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And we understand because we're looking, we're reading, we're expecting, we're believing what he said is true. And like Brenda was saying, that's why people are studying. That's why people are listening. That's why people are looking. Because those who are wise are looking for God's return. We're looking for the signs so we can be aware and prepared. He doesn't leave us without knowing what's going on. That's never how he's done his disciples. He says, I call you friends. We're the ones who believe. He's left the word so that we can have it and we can be ready. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming to pass. So one of the things we know that's going to happen, right, are wars, violence, and lawlessness. Do we see that?
Yes.
War,
yes, it,
violence.
It's off the hook. It's off the hook crazy. And all these people that
are hooked
on all that poison. And there's a lot of horrible stuff going on, I know, about the police officers killing young black men. But more young black men are killing more young black men than police officers are killing young black men. And it's driving me to distraction, knowing about it and seeing these things unfold. Okay, I had to say that. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. And our people killing one another is horrific. But
it,
also
it is.
when you depend on a system to protect you and that system does not for whatever reason, that's also letting us know that the institutions are changing. It's one thing when we kill one another. We have had civil war forever. we've hurt each other through time. You know, we sold each other to get here. You know, we sold some of our own people here. We've done horrible things to one another, which is not to undermine it. That's horrible in itself. But when we rely on systems and put systems in place, and when I say police, it's black men who are policemen who are also accidental. And I have very good friends who are policemen. They're saying the same things to me. They're
and
telling
corrupt.
Me the same things because, yes, but and that's, again, that's what I'm talking about is the system.
Yes, you're right.
It's the
I
whole
agree.
System. It's the system. And it's not just those individual policemen, because some of them can be set up because of fear and make mistakes out of fear. But the system, when the system is corrupt, it's going to yield an inequitable way in which it treats people. And for years, people of color have been treated unequally as other. That's not changing. That's not, you know, Jesus will be back before that happens. So as we look at this, so, you know, somebody read Matthew 24, 6 through 7, please. It shouldn't take that long to pull it up on the computer. Matthew 24, 6 through 7. Anybody got it?
I have it in the message.
Okay, just read it.
I have. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead. Brenda, you can read it.
Okay. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Can I tell you all something
Hello?
Really quick?
Go ahead.
Okay. I think I told Britt this. California just put just sent live an earthquake warning system. Now think about this. It runs all the way from Northern California to Southern California. Somewhere along, the sensors are along the San Andreas Fault, but they have more on the southern end. Now I ask you, we have in Los Angeles County 87,700 some people that are homeless. They're sleeping on tents. They're sleeping in, they're sleeping wherever they can sleep. And they spent money on an earthquake warning system that would only give 10 seconds, if that much. I lived through the Northridge earthquake. If you're going to live through it, God will see you that you get through it. If you're not going to, you're not. But that's what the state just spent millions of dollars on with 87,000 some people homeless in L.A. County. What do you think about that?
Well,
if God is going to have it happen, it's going to happen. And God will be the one to decide who will make it through and who won't make it through.
Yeah.
We can follow the little things that they tell us to do, like, you know, have a certain amount of money, have your water, have your food, have a change of clothes in the car, all those other things. Because we slept in the car for 3 days at the Northridge earthquake. But what I'm saying is that everything is so unbalanced. It's so out of whack.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm done with that then. Okay.
No,
yeah,
that was
good,
girl.
And we read earlier that the love of many would wax cold, and love of many has waxed cold. And I think it was you that was saying about, you know, people are, money is worth more than people. And we see, you know, Trump is sitting here talking about he doesn't want to lose $100 billion order from the Saudis because, you know, he doesn't want to go against the king and the crown prince because he might lose money. And when they killed somebody over there and cut them up.
Kill one of our reporters.
Yeah. So, I mean, he puts money over people. And that's what we've done with, we got all these homeless people, like you said. The United States has enough money. Nobody in this country ought to be homeless. Nobody in this country ought to be hungry. Nobody in this country ought to have to sacrifice their medicine, you know, their food for medicine and stuff like that. But we got so much greed till the greed runs our country. I mean, it can, and people use capitalism and they capitalize on capitalism and say everybody's got to make money. And so businesses don't care about this country. Businesses don't care about people. I mean, and the love for people is overshadowed by this desire to make money.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Satan is sitting there
and
laughing at us. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Amen.
Everything out of whack. It's out of balance. Everything is out of balance.
It is out of balance.
Everything is out of balance, and that's why we know that we better hold on. We know
Amen.
That our faith is strong, and we know we believe in God, but we better hold on.
And you read, nations shall rise against nations and kingdom against kingdoms. Here we are, unprecedented time in history where we have these massive annihilative potential weapons, this massive global scales of potential conflict, nations against
yes.
nations. And then verse 22 is this prophetic qualifier that only points to our time of high technology. Come on, somebody, read 22. Whoever read that one, well, that was you, Brenda. Read 22.
Matthew 24, verse 22?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Okay. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. It's like that.
And unless those days were shortened, talking about the time mm-hmm. of World War where we're using these new weapons, unless those yes. days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. Talking about human extension. Did y'all hear that?
Yes.
No flesh would be saved. This is the end of the world, human extension. But for the elect, God's repentant, obedient saint. Those days will be short. Today's world, we got a widespread wars and rumors of wars, ethnic wars taking place everywhere.
Amen.
We need to see what's happening. We need to see the times. We need to be looking. And, you know, this is not new. You know, this is not a new thing. Have you noticed the completely inexplicable outbreaks of violence? You know, random shooting, murders, mass killings. Christ
yes.
predicted the social breakdown just before his return. He says in Matthew 24:12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. You just read that.
Amen.
We got all these deaths, these killings. I mean, it's in front of us. Shootings everywhere. Nobody, kids, babies. And then nobody wanted to do anything about it with the NRA? Because we weren't the love of money. And I'm not against holding weapons, because I have my license, a lifetime license. But I am against having an AKA, AR 17, 15, 17, 16, 15, 16, 17, all those, accessible to anybody that's a civilian. I don't think we need those accessible to people. But based on this, it won't matter anyway.
We don't need
do
them.
What they want to do.
We don't need them. They're designed to murder as many people as possible. Before
possible.
Reloading, and that's the reason that
yes.
they're made, and the so-called
war.
Laws that they have are not protecting innocent people against the whack jobs that are running around out there that are mentally ill. We have so much unchecked mental illness; it's off the hook. People are doing things to each other just because they can. Think about that.
This is
they don't have to
issue,
be provoked.
Guys.
They don't have to be provoked for it. They're doing it because they can.
Yes. But that's power. People want power, and they're taking power. They're seizing power, and that's a problem. Paul was inspired to write. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. So we deny the authority of God. Now we'll get up in religiosity, which is nothing. I'm talking about spirituality. We can go to church and come back home the same, go down a wet devil, come up a dry one. It don't. That ain't going to make no difference.
No.
We're talking
and
about
it's
people. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it's not the way that people can talk every day. It's the way people are living. We
need to be living epistles.
Thank you. And people are just, they just living like, I can't even explain it. It's so bad. And I'm not saying everyone is like that, but what I'm saying is that people don't care enough about each other these days even to be courteous. Just to hold the door for somebody or to say thank you or whatever. And they're doing things to each other just simply because they can. And you know that is nothing but the devil. Nothing but the devil. I'm going to mute my thing, okay?
So we have to get away from people who talk about religion but deny the authority of God, because they will mislead you. It will confuse you. Signs of war, increase in violence. We need to look out for that. These are some of the signs. Drought and famine. I'm going to go through these quickly, and y'all bear with me. It may take about 10 minutes. But drought and famine, the lack of rain, the lack of food, stalks the earth as it never has before. And it's going to get worse. We talked about the wildfires, the range fires, the forest fires in California. After the fires have burned off the brush, there's always the danger of floods because there's no vegetation.
I have to say this because this is important. The rain is due tomorrow and Thursday.
Girl!
Okay. Yes.
Lord have mercy. So then you don't have any vegetation to keep the watershed from, to retain the precipitation. You got the catastrophes of the droughts, the famines, the fires, the flood. And Matthew 24:7 says, Jesus predicted, and there will be famines. World famines are going to happen. Increased political, military danger, especially for the United States. Those of us who have been seen as the breadbasket of the world, oh, wait till when we start struggling. Who going to have something then? If we start struggling, you know, when the breadbasket is gone. So those of us living in this advanced, supposed developed world, and we think that these things are only going to take place in India, Bangladesh, Africa. What happens when it happens to us? We got to think about that. One day, the supermarkets and the restaurants, they're going to have to close because there ain't no food.
Yeah.
And some people are planning on it. They have all these survivalist tools and food that'll stay alive on the shelf without refrigeration or anything. You just add water to it.
Yes.
That's a whole industry.
Yeah.
And people
they
are putting
that
away
for nothing.
And they're packing it. They're packing it, putting it away. They're getting storms. You remember how they had those bomb shelters years ago? They're doing all this stuff to be able to survive. They're going to places where they can actually hunt and forage and survive. This ain't no new thing. People have been planning this. They know this is real. Somebody believes the word. And some of us are going to be walking around like that ain't real. So I'm just going to keep on, and we're going to die in what we don't know. And the Bible says, when it talks about the dedication of God's temple in Jerusalem, and he's talking about God's power. It says, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because the people have sinned against you, 1 Kings 8:34, we have to ask, does God collectively punish a nation for mocking or ignoring his moral and ethical standards? When we laugh at God, when people talk about and God we trust, oh, we don't need that anymore. Oh, that's old. That just, you know, we're not a country that's founded on God anymore. You know, we'll say, you know, don't forget, God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And it's a fearful thing. You know, David said, you know, no. I put my mercy in the Lord's hand anytime. But when we get to the point where we don't think that God is going to judge God's people, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of God, who is angry and his wrath is raging. And I'm on the Lord's side. Even if I'm going to get whipped, I want to be on the Lord's side, because I know there's some mercy there.
Definitely, definitely be on the Lord's side. And he gets angry.
Amen. So we got to look at the fact that the famine is coming as well, and people
yes.
are preparing for that. But we know God is merciful, and is going to look after God's people. But, you know, you got to understand. So let me jump down, and I want to talk about the earthquakes and the other natural catastrophes. We know that, right? So Mark 13:8. So can someone get Mark 13:8 and Matthew 24:7? We'll reread that one again. It's talking about, you know, I'm going to talk about Los Angeles a little bit. It says, the journalists have asked the better question, why not? Maybe a good shaking up gets people's attention. Talking about the earthquakes, you were talking about how they affect people all around the world, not just in Southern California. But the scripture tells us that before Jesus returns, there will be increasing earthquakes in various places. It's Mark 13:8 and Matthew 24:7. In the last few years, guys, you know, haven't we had more frequent earthquakes? Haven't we had more natural catastrophes, tsunamis,
all these
different things? Go ahead.
Hurricanes and typhoons, but the Ring of Fire has been going wild. And that really started up in 1987, because I went through three different relatively large, especially the Northridge earthquake, but it's moving all around, that whole Ring of Fire. And, you know, going to the USGS.gov and get the shake maps, and you can see everything that's moving everywhere. And that is definitely
Amen.
In the Bible.
Amen. So we need to keep looking for these earthquakes and these storms. And then disease epidemics. And,
right.
Remember when they had the Ebola virus?
They got another one in Congo, right? They got one in Congo right now.
What's it called?
It's Ebola, and they don't know how this one started. We know that the other one started because some kids found some bats inside a hollowed out tree, and they took them home because it's considered food, and so they took them home and mm-hmm. people cooked them, and then it started from there. And I don't know if you ever saw the movie Contagion, but you got to see it. I wash my hands at least 10 times every day. But
Girl,
besides that, there's another Ebola outbreak in Congo. And in Congo, the last time I looked, which was a few days ago, there were more than 200 people dead, and there was violent outbreaks because they were trying to contain them, just like they did for the other one that started in Guinea with the bats. You know, and
mm-hmm.
those borders are protected, but they're kind of open, so when people travel, that's it. It gets spread.
Yeah, it gets spread. But we have those old scourges of humanity as well, malaria, tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
they're reemerging.
Yes,
Just
they
list,
are.
All those things and all those things that people can't fix, super drug-resistant diseases that ignore penicillin, the MRSA, other drugs.
MRSA and CRE.
Flesh-eating
bacteria that is not, you can't even,
cancer.
Like, you know, it's not even curable.
Yes.
And I think that in Revelation, that's right. But and just our environment, and it's mean and awful, and horrible as it can be, causes a lot of stress on people, and people get sick.
Yeah. You remember how you were talking about the bats? Revelation 6,
yes.
8 says, it says, can somebody read that right quick? And I won't hold you much longer, but Revelation 6, 8.
Here, I got to get there.
So the plagues of humanity are been animal born. Like the bubonic plague, remember that? Wasn't that mice, James?
It was rats.
The rats?
Yeah, and they blamed the Jewish people because they were the ones taking the boats and stuff over into China, and the rats were running up the ropes and getting off in Italy, and that's how it started. So you ready for me to read this? Revelation 6, 8?
Yes.
I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth.
Well,
yeah.
Did I hear by the wild beasts?
Yes, you did.
Uh-huh. We did. So, you know, we got to think about all this stuff that's going on, all this pestilence. Matthew 24:7 talks about it. You know, Deuteronomy even says, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. This is God speaking directly to Moses. If his people would obey him, then God will set us high. You know, where are we in? We don't even love the Lord anymore. We don't even talk about his word. We just want to have our ears tickled. We have people who get upset when you hear somebody preaching the word. I had a church tell me I preach too much Bible. Hello?
We hear you.
But what happens when the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel because they were disobeying? The Lord sent a plague upon Israel from the morning till the appointed time. So we need to understand plagues, those kind of things, are real, and they will be used, and we need to understand it doesn't mean that they're gone, that this is going to continue to happen. So then we got to look at the rise of an aggressive fundamentalist Islamic power.
Yes.
Now, you know, this is deep. It's a time at the end when the Bible predicts that they're going to arise in North Africa or the Middle East, this charismatic personality who will be able to unify, harness, and lead all these powerful blocks of nations. And guess what? We need to be concerned because that is nearing the end of time. It says, at the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him. I'm reading Daniel 11:40-43. A power located north from the king of the south, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, horsemen, and ships, and he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, of all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his foothills. So we need to be watching the daily paper. We need to be reading and understanding Bible prophecy. We need to realize the significance of massive arms purchased in the Middle East, these weapon-producing countries like North Korea, China, and Russia. Hey, folks, come on, wake up, somebody. We need to be seeing this. So these nuclear biological weapons are going to happen, and we need to understand this is going to anger the king of the north. It says in Daniel 11:40, he will feel emboldened to provoke or attack the European Union. Now, do y'all know anything about the European Union? Y'all need to be paying attention. Does anybody know about the European Union? Take
a second. Something about it.
You do? Okay. Tell me what you know. And Brenda, Google European Union. Go ahead, Dr. Nook.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dr. Nook.
Well, there's several countries that are in the European Union right now. You got the Brexit, the United Kingdom pulling out of the European Union. The European Union has their own currency. I mean, you got Germany and France are the two big ones now because the Great Britain is pulling out of it. Russia doesn't like the European Union, trying to do everything to go against the European Union. And Russia is, of course, the Gog and the Magog, which is talked about in Revelation. So you have the European Union has their own currency, and they're trying to come together as an economy. And there's some countries that are coming together that are trying to get strong, but they're not liked by Russia. So, I mean, the Russia effect is very strong there, too, against the European Union.
Okay. Did you have a definition, Brenda? Thank you, Dr. Nooks.
Yes, and I just want to mention Theresa May, who started Brexit, and they're trying to get the UK out of the European Union. I don't know if you've been watching that, but it's about to happen.
Yeah.
In the meantime, here's our definition. The European Union, the EU, is a political and economic union of 28 member states that are located primarily in Europe. It has an area of 4,475,757 kilometers and an estimated population of about 513 million. It developed an internal single market through a standardized system of laws that apply in all member states in those matters, and only those matters where members have to agree to act as one. EU policies aim to ensure the free movement of people, goods, services, and capital within the internal market, enact legislation in justice and home affairs, and maintain common policies on trade, agriculture, fisheries, and regional development. A monetary union was established in 1999 and came into full force in 2002 and is composed of 19 EU member states which use the euro currency.
Yes. So if we get this leadership that is from that's not afraid to use this nuclear biological war weapon, then they come together with this final holy war against the morally corrupt nations of the West, whose religion, lifestyle, and values represent this deadly challenge to what all they view as good. Then that leader will feel emboldened to provoke or attack the European Union, Daniel 11:40. This will anger the fourth king of the north and the forces of the king of the south. They're going to be completely crushed by this European Union. And then the kings of the north will come down like a whirlwind, take over the Middle East, including the Holy Land. The kings of the north armies will seize control of the region's oil. And these things that are going to happen, this is going to be, I mean, this is where we have a one world monetary system. One world. Everything is under the one monetary system. And it's going to happen. People who have that, that's in place, that's being put in place now. You know, we talk about the mark of the beast. We see people have implanted. They've implanted the RFPs in dogs and animals, and they even have organizations that are putting their codes for the access to their buildings underneath people's skins. You know, these are things that are already taking place that have your medical records and all your information on it. Hey, it says they shall defile the sanctuary fortress, they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation, Daniel 11:31. That's a dual prophecy there. Well, at the end of the age, be a temple or some altar in Jerusalem. The priests of the family of Aaron will again offer the daily animal sacrifices, and we need to be watching for that because it's going to happen. And then this, until this great military power comes in and places there what is called the abomination of desolation. So do you know that they're only 3 months away from being able to begin the temple sacrifices again? That's what I heard last. Does anybody know that? Hello?
I didn't know that, but I was looking up the abomination of desolation.
The description says that at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. Lord have mercy. When the king of the north comes against west, against God's people, at the beginning of the great tribulation, this is the same time Jesus described in Matthew 24:21, for then there will be great tribulation such has not been since the beginning of the world, nor ever shall be. So we have a lot to be concerned about, to be looking at, and then we've got this ascendant European Union that's going to have global primacy, and then we have the ending of the powerful religious figurehead that's going to lead this religious revival, or the Bible called the false prophet in Revelations 19:19-21. And this religious leader that has this great charisma, exercises this influence over political power, the soon coming beast. The long prophesied influential head of the great militant church in Europe. The false religious leaders. Scripture says, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Yep. This is just, y'all, this is deep. This is so deep. And the important end time prophecy, God says, I was angry with my people. Who are God's people? There are two ways that this can be understood. One is the church of God. The other is God's physical people, Israel. You, Israel, only have I known of all the families among the earth. In Amos 3:2, the prophecy is definitely speaking nationally, so it's not talking just about God's true church. This is, to me, I think it's talking about the end time nations and that involves modern Israel. I think when God says, you know, I have profaned my inheritance and given them unto you, you showed them no mercy on the elderly. You laid your yoke very heavily in Isaiah 47:6. Talking about yoke, the yoke of slavery laid upon us by the daughter of the ancient Babylon. Come on, the false religious system will put a yoke on God's birthright people, those who have received a tremendous national inheritance from God Almighty. So that day is coming. And then finally, we'll have a crisis strike Jerusalem. You know, faith again becomes a matter of life or death when we have persecution of the Christians in the church of God that keeps the commandments of God. You know, it says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. We just read that in Matthew 24:9. It's going to happen. I believe as a futurist, it's going to happen. So these are the things that, you know, we're culminating and closing our understanding of the text. I know that Brenda had gone and she was looking up to understand what the Bible was calling abomination of desolation. So when the scripture talks about, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, talking about Daniel and the prophet standing in the holy place,
yes.
It tells us that Jerusalem is going to be surrounded by these armies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when they see this, we're supposed to flee to the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Our idol is going to be set up in the holy place. Do you all know that there was a, did y'all remember that the satanic, the idol for Satan was set up in one of, was it Georgia? One of the places in the south, they put it on the
yeah.
steps of the
yeah, I saw
y'all
that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Because they wanted to take down some of the Georgian, the old Confederate statues. So they
right.
put a statue of Satanist statue up. We need to see these signs. Do you understand? I'm in Maine. The number one religion here in Maine and New England is number one Wiccan, number two Satanism.
Well, I can understand because you're in a place that it's known for that. It really and truly is known for that.
I didn't know. Most of us, the folk I know, didn't know that.
Yeah.
We didn't know that, ignorant as I am. Yeah.
Are not at all, but that's part of the history over there. And that had to do with the settlers who came before, and they were burning women at the stake for having ideas of their own and all of that. I think they killed something like 10,000 women over in UK before coming over and, yeah.
But this state has the most veterans of any state. And one of the things about when there's a rough time coming, you want to be someplace where you can forage, where you can find food, where you can eat off of the land.
And
so
the military bases,
if
it's another country that's coming after us, any place near the military bases is not a good place. And that's what we learned when we were doing the duck and cover exercises when we were in school, when we were kids. And they were talking about
right.
Fort Harrison and Allison's Engines and all that kind of stuff.
So the places near military bases are not good because that's what they're going to target.
Exactly. And basically we're on our own forever, how long, depending on what the attack is. I know how to get through things. I've been through some natural disasters, but I can tell you one thing still. If God doesn't want somebody here, they're not going to be here afterwards. That's that.
Amen.
So you can only prepare to a point.
Amen. It says, from the time that the daily sacrifices to God are stopped by the foreign aggressor, possibly by the coming king of the north, and the abomination of desolation is set up, which is 1,290 days. It's in Daniel. It talks about a certain period of time after the abomination of desolation until the end of the present civilization when Christ returns to the earth as King of Kings to usher in the new world order, the kingdom of God. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you, God told Daniel, go your way to the end, for you shall rest. In other words, Daniel would not see the fulfillment of the prophecies God inspired through him. He was to live out his days and die, never really understanding the prophecy, but he had to write it down. Isn't it interesting how we don't always have to know every freaking thing? That if we just be obedient and do the part that God tells us to do, we don't have to answer. We don't have to have an answer to everything.
No, but
we just
I think
need to be
one
obedient
that,
and do the part that God sends to tells us to do.
But one thing that you said that I thought was really important is that we just need to be aware of what's happening, because if we're not really aware of what's happening, then somehow we're not following along like we should. We know where we're headed. But some things will manifest as we move through time. You said you're a futurist. I agree. Then I'm a futurist too. But we're very in tune to what's going on around us in relationship to our relationship to God and his son Jesus and the Bible. Okay?
Mm-hmm. So the abomination of desolation is when they set up that idol in the holy place. That's going to be something else. So, you know, we need to, like you said, be aware and continue to watch. Now, I'm going to close tonight. I wanted to thank you guys for coming. Dr. Nooks, if you could close with a quick prayer, and do it quickly because we have 2 minutes and then we'll cut off. Thank you guys for participating as we end this month, as we've talked about the coming return of Jesus. You got 90 seconds.
Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for the Bible study. Help us to do your will. Help us to see your signs. Help us, to God, to stand on your word and have faith in you and understand that we have a better place prepared for us. Thank you for loving
Amen.
Us. Bless our leader, Dr. Susie. Help us, God, to do your will. Thank you for all that you are. And for those that are listening in, that if they want to give their life to Christ, we just ask you to confess your sin and understand that Jesus died for you and rose again from the dead. And we're praying for you, and we're praying for all those that are on the line. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.